Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Welcome back, folks. We met with Bernie Pinsenot last hour talking about the apathy in voting. They're projecting about a 13 to 15% turnout. And unfortunately, there are a number of critical votes that will be had in a number of different parishes, not to mention the Senate vote, and that's going to take place in every parish in this state. You have the PSC that's going to cover a large portion of the state as well, and the Bessie board that covers a fairly large portion of the state too, that there will be voting on. But in St. Tammany Parish, you have a couple of millage renewals and others that are very much about providing the sustenance necessary to deliver services within that parish, whether it's in the city or in the unincorporated areas or the incorporated areas. Sam Caruso, St. Tammany Parish Chamber of Commerce board members, been an elected official and been involved in St. Tammany politics for a long time, watching a lot of what's going on in the growth over there. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell, how are you? Good morning.
Doing well. It's good to hear from you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'll let you start out, maybe state of the state of St. Tammany. You know, Nancy Landry saying 15% turnout. That's abysmal, sure. Right? I mean, it's just
terrible. Absolutely terrible. Now, I guess the good news is, St. Tammany Parish had the highest early vote turnout from what I've heard of any of the parishes across the state, but not good turnout. And I know there was a surge in early voting at the end of the week, and you might imagine there were a few things in the news that might have driven some of that.
Maybe
some people off the couch.
Yeah.
We might talk about that a little bit.
Well, why don't we start right there? I made a comment early on this morning that we need to separate those issues, right? Because this is about the entity and the sustenance necessary to keep it going, the revenue it needs for the entity. Former Sheriff Randy Smith was a friend. I wish him luck in dealing with his personal challenges that he has. But the fact of the matter is, he was not the entity. The St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office is. And that's what this is all about moving forward. Right, Sam?
Absolutely. The sheriff, I think he ended up doing the right thing. The institution, like you said, it is bigger than one person. And the deputies serve the community every day. They deserve continued support. This particular millage is a renewal of a millage that's been around since 1978. It's about $13.5 million a year. It represents a little over 13% of the department's entire operating budget. It's really important because if you lose this millage, I think I read this morning, you've got about 70 of the deputies who would be at risk of just not being there anymore. That's a reduction in law enforcement. And they had nothing to do with the news of the last couple of weeks. and they don't deserve to be punished. I think we can move on from that now.
Well, you know, the irony here, or not irony, but what makes it worse, and I'm not trying to scare people, but if you lose 70 deputies, you put all of the other deputies at risk, right? You don't have the necessary backup. I mean, I could just go on, and we don't have enough time. So just know that there's nothing positive that comes out of this millage failing.
That's correct. And it would put a tremendous amount of strain on the parish government to try to fill some of that gap. And as you know, and we'll talk about it, I think, a little bit later on, the parish government is already in a very significant fight to make certain that we're properly funding the entire justice system. So that's something that's coming down the road later in December. But right now, it is absolutely critical that we have this particular funding for the Sheriff's Department, as well as some of the other millages that are on the ballot tomorrow. The Mosquito District is just as important.
The Mosquito Abatement District, 2.95 mills renewal for a period of time of 10 years, which I would suspect it was passed probably around the same time as the Sheriff's millage, right?
Yes, back in 2016. And it was passed in 2016 at 4.2 mils. So reducing it to 2.95, over a mil, about a mil and a quarter, that's big numbers. And in St. Tammany Parish, one mil equals $3.16 million across the whole parish. And so you're really saving people money when you see these kinds of reductions. One of the misnomers that is very common out there, especially in social media right now, is that the millage rates keep going up. Property values have, in fact, gone up in some instances, not across the board necessarily, but millage rates, you know, I've been working millage elections since 2001, Newell, and for the last 7 years or so, I haven't worked on a single millage campaign where the millage has gone up. They've either, in some cases, stayed the same. In most cases, they've been reduced. The library last year reduced by a mill. This Mosquito one is reducing by a mill and a quarter. The sheriff is reducing slightly from his last millage. So there are efforts being made by these taxing agencies across the parish to lower these millage rates. You got to remember, these folks live here too. They recognize and they don't like paying taxes any more than you and I do. And so they want to make certain that those millage rates are where they need to be in order to provide the services they provide, but not excessive. And, you know, the Mosquito District, for instance, is a really good example of an agency that has done all the right things in the last year. They were under a tremendous amount of scrutiny, if you might remember. There was a government efficiency committee looking at them. Tomorrow, if you vote yes, you're going to lower that millage by 30%. They're selling some assets worth about $600,000. They've made 11% reductions in their overall budget, or really about $1 million in budget cuts. And again, this millage itself is going to save the parish more than $3.2 million a year. And the total property tax on this is roughly, what, $65 a year for a house worth about $300,000. In order to get rid of the most hated, even more hated than politicians, are mosquitoes. So I think that's an important thing for folks to remember.
So true. This is encouraging, though, Sam, and because it has been a top line conversation now for a period of time about the realignment of these millages, right? Because they were kind of all out of alignment, right? And it's encouraging to see that folks are making the attempt to bring that back into alignment, because there are other agencies that are underfunded that need more funding, and they have the data to prove that they need more funding, right?
100%. And we, as we touched on earlier, later this year, the parish council is going to move forward with a quarter cent sales tax effort. It's going to be on the December ballot, and that will fund the justice system. That is going to be district attorney's office, the judicial system, part of the jail funding, et cetera. That is an absolutely critical funding measure. They've tried six times in 10 years to find a solution, and the voters have said no every time. This time, the difference is there has been a concerted effort by all taxing bodies to find a way to make certain that the property tax side of the ledger goes down as much or more. Really, an effort is being made to make it more of a reduction in property taxes than the increase of a quarter cent on sales tax, which 21% of a sales tax gets paid for by people who are coming through St. Tammany Parish, not necessarily people who live in St. Tammany Parish. So there's some real financial advantages to the way they've structured that one. And it is aimed straight at that justice system. And it's very important. We've got to get this done. And we've seen some real progress, Newell. You know, in May, when we ran some of our analytics May 1st, over 75% of the folks who were communicating at all about this in the social media world were a hard no. Don't even talk to me about this. I'm voting against every incumbent. I'm voting against every single tax, whether it's new or a renewal. It doesn't even matter if you're going to bring the tax down. I'm no. By June 15th, with some education, some fantastic infographics that were done by private citizens, some information from the parish government, a lot of public meetings, and there'll be a ton more of those. Now, 63% of the same population is saying, tell me a little bit more about how we can fix this. Let's have a discussion about what works, what doesn't work, what's legal, what's not legal. Now, that's not the same. I'm not saying they 63% of the folks are saying they're favorable, but they went from don't even talk to me to now 63% of the folks who are engaging in these conversations want to know more. I see that as a real glimmer of hope that we're going to see some engagement that is meaningful and some conversations that really get to the heart of the issues before the end of the year.
Yeah. What other initiatives do you see on the ballot that are incredibly important at this? They're all important, but that stick out as being really, really important for the funding.
Sure. Sure. In Slidell, the city of Slidell has a couple of millage renewals on the ballot. Those are going to be to support the garbage, water, sewer systems, some of the core functions of the municipality. And those are all renewals, no increases there. I think there's a fire protection district in Madisonville, also a renewal. There's a couple of recreation districts in Folsom and Abita Springs. All of these are at the same rate or lower rates than were previously in place. So there's a lot of incentive for folks to get out and vote yes tomorrow, because you're really going to impact in a positive way your tax bill at the end of the day.
What is the mood of the parish in the aftermath of the sheriff resigning? And in particular, have you heard anything about the mood as it relates to that renewal, millage renewal?
Well, I think the best word for the mood is relief. I think people are glad that it's over. I think there's a real sense of let's move forward. And we saw a little bit of that in the surge in early voting on Friday, on Saturday, which was the last day of early voting. And it occurred just a couple of days after the announcement. People really went out and started early voting. There were a number of folks holding back and who didn't want to vote against the tax, but they didn't want to vote for that particular sheriff. And I think they were going to stay home. And now I believe there's a sense of, okay, we can get by this. We can move on. We're feeling a little bit more confident that we got a positive road ahead of us. So we're going to go out there and support these deputies. I'm encouraged. I think they're going to pass this tax.
Sam, I heard yesterday that there's contemplation by the council in St. Tammany mm-hmm. to call the special election for the sheriff yeah. at the same time that that quarter-cent sales tax initiative would be on the ballot.
Well,
you've been around a while. I don't think that's wise.
Well, technically, I'll say this. First of all, I think they're calling that election, as I understand it, for November, and the sales tax for the parish is in December. That would put a runoff for sheriff on the same ballot. The primary would be a month earlier. And I'll say this, Newell, nobody wants to become sheriff. You were sheriff. You don't want to become a sheriff in a situation where your funding is at great peril. I would suspect that you're going to have a number of candidates running for that office. And I cannot imagine anybody who wants to go into that office opposing the very measure that's going to help fund a core part of that office. So I hear what you're saying. Typically that might be the case, but in this case, I think this plays really into the favor of the parish government.
Yeah. I don't know. I have my reservations, you know,
you've been around a long time too.
About that. I mean, I can think of right now, and I'm not going to articulate it. If I was running somebody's campaign, I could compel issues and dice up issues right now to try and make somebody make a mistake and say the wrong thing, you know, and
the
reality is that unless there's someone from inside the organization that's going to be running, and the chief criminal deputy Ebert, I think, has indicated he's not mm-hmm. going to run.
Correct.
All the other candidates are at a disadvantage, right? And so it just seems to me that you put yourself in a much better position to have a much more robust, maybe diverse slate of potential candidates if you wait till the spring. And, you know, after that that election on the quarter cent is resolved one way or the other. Right. And if any of these millages, if the millage renewal fails, you're going to want to go back out. I mean, you got to go back out.
Sure.
I mean, you know, so if you're planning on putting the sales tax on there and this millage fails, I mean, you know, it's like now you got it. You're doubling up and you're really limiting your opportunities here in a big way. It's got to be a little bit more strategic. I'm surprised they waited so long to go out on the renewal, to be quite honest with you, because we typically went out on renewals far in advance of the last minute like this.
I like Mosquito District tomorrow, they're going out in advance. I don't disagree with your logic there, but I will say that I think right now St. Tammany Parish citizens are looking for some real leadership. They're looking for a step forward. That's probably more than anything driving the decision to get this sheriff's race on that ballot as quickly as possible so we can move forward. And I really do think that that's got a little bit more to do with it than anything else.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope there's not, you know, a move afoot where there's something else going on there. But be that as it may, tomorrow's very important. And to the folks in St. Tammany, just please get out there, vote your conscience and get it done. And hopefully you beat the statewide average by 4X, 5X, maybe even 6X would be nice.
Man, I don't think we'll get there, but if we could beat it by just 5%, that would be a step in the right direction.
Well, if I'm going to ask, I'm going to ask big. All they can say is no, right?
That's right. And Newell, let me thank Lacey Osborne of the Chamber also for letting me sit in today in her place. She does a great job usually, and this is my second time on with you in a couple of months about some very important issues. I appreciate Lacey letting me do that. So visit the Chamber website. And
we appreciate the great work y'all do. over there, because yeah. St. Tammany is vital to the success of this region, and in so many different ways. We don't always recognize that, but it is absolutely true. So we need there to be successes throughout this whole region for certain. Sam Caruso, thank you so much. St. Tammany Parish Chamber of Commerce board member. Have a thank great you. Weekend. And Sam, you probably voted already, but let's.
I did.
I'm gonna hold you responsible for at least 100 people getting to the polls. How about that?
Well, I could probably do that. I mean, just my wife's family, and
there you go.
She's got an enormous family, so we'll be okay.
Sounds good. Thank you, Sam.
Thank
Have
you
a
so
great
much,
weekend. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. The Social Security trustees issue an annual report. They just released their annual report, and this year it's every bit as depressing as it is in most other years. And basically what it says is that things are getting worse. And here to describe how bad it is Romina Baccia, Director of Budget and Entitlement Policy at the Cato Institute. Romina, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Romina, I would remind the audience that you have testified before Congress, correct me if I'm wrong, reminding them of just how bad the Social Security system truly is. But I got to ask you, is anybody listening? I mean, we're doing nothing.
Yes, Congress has held just these past 2 weeks two hearings on Social Security, hearing from the trustees and the chief commissioner, and then just 2 days ago there was another hearing in the Senate on the Social Security trustees report. And since then, a group of senators on a bipartisan basis have introduced a bill to establish an advisory process that would also force a potential vote in the Congress. You know, you see, the issue with Social Security is not that we don't know what we need to do to fix it. It's that there is no political will or courage to tackle what is arguably one of the most politically controversial programs in the United States, that's also highly popular with a very important voting constituency, seniors.
How much would they have to cut other programs being offered by the federal government in order to right the ship for Social Security?
Well, here's the challenge. If you wanted to if you didn't want to raise people's taxes to pay for Social Security, and if you didn't want to adjust Social Security benefits at all, and you just wanted to keep the gravy train going, and you said, let's cut other government programs and funnel that money into Social Security, just this year alone, you'd have to cut about $330 billion from the federal budget in order to cover the Social Security cash flow shortfall. But over the long term, in present value terms, so the amount of money you will need to invest today, the Social Security gap is actually almost as large as the entire publicly held debt at $30 trillion. And so it is a massive gap. And we should also ask whether, does it make sense to continue to subsidize retirements regardless of need at a time when our demographics have changed so significantly such that the burden on workers to finance this is becoming so large that it's impeding their ability to realize their version of the American dream, because there are no savings in Social Security. It's a pure transfer from working Americans today to seniors with no investment taking place anywhere in the system.
And we're still trying to catch up for decisions that were made a decade ago or so about borrowing money from the Social Security Trust Fund when we were in the red. I mean, in the black as opposed to in the red, right?
Well, we had Social Security collect more payroll taxes than it needed to pay out in benefits from roughly 1983 to 2009. And during that time, the trust fund amassed about $3 trillion in surpluses. The issue is that the federal government doesn't save money. So when Congress saw that money come in, they thought up all kinds of ways that they could spend it, and they did. They ended up expanding Medicare. They added Part D. There were several rounds of tax cuts, all of which basically spent the Social Security surplus in other areas of the budget, with the Treasury writing an IOU to the Social Security Administration saying, hey, we're going to spend that money right now, but we're good for it. When you need it later, you come to us. Now that the Social Security Administration is knocking on Treasury's door and saying, hey, I got these IOUs, I need those now to pay out benefits, Treasury's going, oops, we have a $2 trillion annual deficit and we don't actually have the money coming in. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to issue more debt to repay you. And that's what's happening. And that's why it's not the necessarily the fault of the Social Security program with its dedicated payroll taxes, but it's the fact that the federal government as a whole doesn't have a policy of savings, and hasn't set aside the resources to actually cover those obligations.
But they knew then what they were doing, and they also knew that they were going to put this program in a predicament state, right? I mean, they had to know. I mean, math has no emotion.
That doesn't change
You've
the
looked
political
at these
dynamics, right? That's like for Congress. They just want to give out benefits now, and they want to stick the next guy with the bill. That's how politics works.
So, when we talk about remedial action, how deep does this have to go in order to right the ship? Because I never hear anybody talking, you know, anybody elected talking about that.
Yeah. Well, currently we're going from Social Security spending an average of about 4 to 4.5% of GDP to 6.5% of GDP. And so the program overall is becoming more expensive. The payroll tax at 12.4% is no longer sufficient to cover the cost. It would have to go up to about 17%, which is a huge increase for the average worker and would rob a median earner who only makes about $70,000 a year of more than $3,000 in additional taxes in order to avoid benefit reductions. I think that's too expensive for most workers and would significantly affect their ability to find and keep jobs because, as you know, employers also get stuck with about half of the payroll tax burden. So it'd be a shared burden here. Instead, we've heard proposals just this week by Senator Moreno and Warren. What if we eliminate the cap on Social Security taxes and make higher earners pay Social Security on all their earned income? Well, you bring in some more revenue in the near term, but in the big picture, you are going to put in place the largest marginal tax increase that The most successful, highly skilled professionals will face the biggest tax increase in U.S. history, and many of those highly skilled workers, such as surgeons, physicians, engineers, pilots, are also at an age where it might incentivize them to retire early. So now you've created other problems. You're going to have less revenue coming in if a lot of those people decide to work less, and you might actually exacerbate shortages in medicine as well as among pilots. And so it's not really a good proposal. And even then, with all of that in mind, at best, you're going to close 30% of the long-term shortfall. So it's not a real solution. What we really need to do is reduce the growth of benefits, slow the growth in benefits. You don't even have to cut anyone's benefits, but we need to stop giving more and more generous benefits to every successive cohort. One of the biggest problems with Social Security is that the what the program pays out doesn't actually reflect what people paid in or what they earned and what they paid taxes on. Instead, in 1977, Congress wanted to give individuals on Social Security a benefit increase. And so what they did is that they decided to index initial benefits for economy-wide wage gains. What we should be doing instead is acknowledge what people earn, what they paid in, and then adjust that amount for inflation. That would be fair and maintains their purchasing power. But when you give them a boost based on wage gains that have happened in the broader economy, where their wages from the 1980s, when they apply for Social Security in the 2020s, get adjusted upward as if they earned them in the 2020s at the current wage rates, that is unaffordable. And if you just eliminated that one policy, again, no benefit cuts, no tax increases, just slowing the growth of future benefits, you could close more than three quarters of the long-term shortfall. So that's really what we should be talking about.
And then they get a COLA, right?
Yes.
I mean, I just saw an announcement. I saw an announcement last year. Was it 1.9 or something? And this year was 2.1 or 2.2% COLA that they got. Am I incorrect in these numbers?
They were higher, and it's going to be higher this year because inflation is picking up again. But the thing with the COLA is for individuals who are already on Social Security, and it adjusts their benefits for inflation. But even that COLA is outdated. It's also from the 1970s, and we have a more modern, more accurate way to calculate inflation's effects on people's purchasing power now. So that's another way that you could actually slow the growth in future benefits by adopting the so-called chain CPI for the current formula. It would be more accurate, and it would close the financing gap modestly.
So when you look into your crystal ball and understanding the political nature of this thing, it seems to me there's this willingness to just wait till there are no options before there's a decision made. Is that
yes,
a fair
Congress
characterization?
Congress likes to kick the can down the road for as long as they can. There is a statutory deadline that will come in 6 years, in 2032, where the can hits the end of the road, and if it goes over the cliff, beneficiaries will be faced with a somewhere between a 22 and 25% benefit cut. So at the very latest, that's when I think we can expect political action, though hopefully we won't wait that long.
On a scale of 1 to 10, likelihood that we don't wait that long?
When you say, would the likelihood be the higher number would be a higher likelihood, then I'm going to say 8.
Eight? Okay.
I say
very
eight
optimistic.
We wait until 2032. I may be misreading the question, but I think it's
yes.
A very high likelihood, 80% that we wait until 2032.
To the bitter end is what you're saying, right?
That's right. I think there's a less than 20% chance that we're actually doing this before. You know what could cause it, though? A bond market revolt. If the bond markets went, we had enough, we're not doing this anymore, we don't trust you, inflation is coming, that might actually get Congress into shape.
I hope something gets Congress into shape. I know the frustration level that I have, the more I read about this, I love getting you on because you're on top of your game with this issue, and we appreciate that as well. But, I mean, this is ugly. It's getting uglier by the day. This is like student loan debt. You know, you owe more the next day than you did the day before. You know, it's just like getting worse every time you look at it. Romina Baccia, Director of Budget and Entitlement Policy at the Cato Institute. Thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time, your insight, and have a great weekend.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not magic.
Welcome back, folks. We've got some interesting texts. Good news or bad, I thoroughly enjoyed her segment. I love reading her articles, and you can find them at cato.org. And her name is Romina Baccia, Romina Baccia. And she writes a lot about Social Security and where we are. And at the present time, the Social Security system is generating about a $5.1 trillion debt contribution, right? And you heard the staggering numbers of what it would take to right the ship here. And each year that goes by, it gets worse. It doesn't get any better. So it's just kind of interesting that, and she puts it at 80%, that they're not going to do anything until 2032, which is the bitter end, where the law says something has to be done in order to deal with this issue. Got some breaking news. Joshua Rondino, the superintendent of police for the New Orleans East Bank Flood Control Agency, has been terminated. He was recently placed on leave. The agency's board president, Peter Vaccari, released this information that he has, in fact, been terminated. And we will report out on why that may have been if we are able to find out. I suspect that it probably has something to do with other things other than what we have publicly talked about there. You will recall, I had the governor on yesterday, and he made some interesting observations. He himself says this has, been problematic, this agency, and he suggested that they release the report. The report had been given confidentially to David Hammer, and he's reported out on that a little bit. Don't know all of the exact language inside the report yet. Have not seen it, not read it, but we will reserve our comments until we get a chance to see it. Hopefully they will formally release the report sooner rather than later. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. All right, folks, just to remind you tomorrow's Election Day again, and the party runoff elections for the U.S. Senate in Louisiana. There are other important issues on the ballot for many of our parishes. Please get out and vote. It's one of our greatest freedoms as American. And then when the polls close, get real-time results at WWL.com and WWL social media. We will be posting them as fast as we're able to get them for certain. Also wanted to remind folks, WWL and the Riverfront Marketing Group invite you to go forth on the river. Join us for an historic Independence Day celebration along New Orleans Riverfront with a world-class free fireworks display Saturday, July 4th at 9 p.m. Come out early to enjoy the pleasures of the French Quarter and downtown New Orleans hotels, museums, restaurants, and bars. Then grab a great viewing spot from either bank, including the brand new Goldring Waldenburg Riverfront Park. Be there when we light up the skies and celebrate America's 250th birthday. Go forth on the river from the Riverfront Marketing Group and WWL and our sister station, Magic 101.9. Ought to be a great show celebrating our 250th anniversary. Looking forward to that as well. NOPD declares a SWAT role after man barricades himself in Mid-City. We'll have more to offer on that breaking news as well. Lot going on, lot happening. And when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Raphael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We will talk about former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Randy Smith pleading guilty and resigning, becoming the latest elected official from the parish to leave office with a felony conviction. We'll talk about what happened, what comes next for the sheriff's office, and how this case fits into a troubling recent history of public corruption and scandal on the North Shore. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.